In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Job chapter 21. Job chapter 21, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. But Job answered and said, "Hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolations. Suffer me that I may speak, and after that I have spoken, mock on. As for me, is my complaint to man? And if it were so, why should not my spirit be troubled? Mark me, and be astonished, and lay your hand upon your mouth. Even when I remember, I am afraid, and trembling taketh hold on my flesh. Wherefore do the wicked live and become old? Yea, are mighty in power. Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not, their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him, and what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Lo, their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out, and how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. They are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth him, and he shall know it. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. For what pleasure hath he in his house after him, when the number of his months is cut off in the midst? Shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judgeth those that are high? One dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. His breasts are full of milk, and his bones are moistened with marrow. And another dieth in the bitterness of his soul, and never eateth with pleasure. They shall lie down alike in the dust, and worms shall cover them. Behold, I know your thoughts and the devices which ye wrongfully imagine against me. For ye say, where is the house of the prince? And where are the dwelling places of the wicked? Have ye not asked them that go by the way? Do ye not know their tokens, that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction? They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. Who shall declare his way to his face, and who shall repay him what he hath done? Yet shall he be brought to the grave, and shall remain in the tomb. The clods of the valley shall be sweet unto him, and every man shall draw after him, as there are innumerable before him. How then comfort ye me in vain, seeing in your answers there remaineth falsehood?" May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. In chapter 21, Job responds to Zophar at the end of the second course. Right? 1, 2, 3. One respond, two respond, three respond. Right? And then second course. First Eliphaz, then Bildad, then Zophar. Job responds to each. Okay, so we've had the second course with Zophar last week in chapter 20. Now here in chapter 21, Job will conclude the second course, and in chapter 22, Eliphaz will begin the third and final course. So this is where we're at in the overall with regard to the book. All right, so what was Zophar's objection to Job? What was his counsel to Job? Job, you cannot maintain your righteousness any longer. Look at you. Right? Look at your estate. Look at your body. Look at your illness. Look at how people are treating you. Look at the loss of your children. and remember and admit what a wicked sinner you are, else God would not be doing this to you. This is how God treats sinners. Job, remember that before you open your mouth anymore. Essentially, that's what Zophar said. Now Job responds. And when he begins, notice that he begins with some confrontation. He has been accused of being a wicked man unjustly. And again, let us remember that it's not that Job doesn't have anything to learn. He does. But not in the way that his three friends have said. So Job says, "Hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolations, your instructions," in other words. "Suffer me that I may speak, and after that I have spoken, mock on. I have little hope that what I'm about to say will change your mind." So there is some confrontation here at the beginning of the chapter. Now, having said that, Job goes on to speak truly in a very biblical manner. We see what Job says here in many other places of Scripture. Psalm 37, Psalm 73. You remember 37, 73, how we can remember that? And what is the teaching in Psalm 37 and 73? You know what, Zophar? Sometimes the wicked do very well. That's the point that Job is making here. And he makes it throughout the whole chapter. Even when he comes to the death of the wicked, he says, "The clods of the earth shall be sweet to him like they're sweet to everyone else." He's going to be laid in the grave just like everyone else. Don't expect that the wicked will go down to the grave in distress. God has reserved him for the last day. In that day it will be known. In that day he will be judged. But sometimes God allows that even the wicked will go down to their grave in this life in peace. Do you remember what Asaph said in Psalm 73? He said, "There's no bands in their death. They're doing pretty well." In fact, Asaph says, "So well were they doing that I found that I kind of wanted to be like them. I said, surely I've cleansed my own hands in vain." In Psalm 37, the psalmist there writes, "Don't fret when you see the wicked stretching forth his hands as a green bay tree. Don't fret. God will bring him into judgment in his due time." Is this not exactly what Job says here in Job chapter 21? Job says, and it happens in many ways. Sometimes the wicked will rise up and they will be blessed and their children will seem to be blessed as well. Not blessed in the true sense of the term, but in the outward sense. Sometimes the Lord reserves the judgment not upon the wicked himself, but it comes later upon his children as they carry on in his ways. Sometimes it happens like that, Job says. Sometimes we don't see it. We never see it at all. Looking at it outwardly, it seems like their houses are secure. And then Job says to his three friends who have accused him of great wickedness, and that's why God is treating him so, "Have you not asked the passersby? And will they not confirm what I'm telling you?" Everybody knows this. This doesn't need any proof from me. You know it yourselves, that often wicked folk go on in their wickedness, it seems, unscathed. Job does assure them and himself with a proper understanding of that final judgment. Yes, that will come. And the Lord will set all accounts right. The judge of the earth will do right. We get that. But we cannot expect in this life that there is going to be this kind of exacting of judgment upon wickedness. "And so your thesis against me is wrong," Job says. What about the other wicked folks in the world that have never suffered? "How then comfort ye me in vain, seeing in your answers there remaineth falsehood?" You have accused me instead of drawing your hearts out to me, you have stood inert to me with no compassion toward me. You have not sympathized with my difficulties. Rather, you have piled on in your accusations. So, this is how chapter 21 proceeds, and it's how it ends. And then we will move on in the next chapter with the beginning of the third course, and Eliphaz will take up his third and final speech against Job. All right, with that then, I'm going to ask Mr. Larry Campbell.